is Marketing Over Coffee with Christopher Penn and John Wall.
Good morning. Welcome to Marketing Over Coffee. I'm John Wall. Today, we have Katie Robert back with us. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, John. I always love doing this.
Yes, we've got Chris is on the road all month, and I'm in this weird position too. I have like four shows in the can because there's just been all these interviews that have come out of the woodwork. But I was like, no, let's definitely get you on the mic because you've got a bunch of stuff happening. Not the least of which is the AI ready data quality audit. We want to talk about that. In fact, we should just lead off with that because that's the biggest thing going. What drove you to put this thing together? This is the latest product and we've learned some interesting stuff along the way, but I'd love to hear your story.
Well, if you have seen anything I've done on LinkedIn, then I like to put on my ranty pants and talk about how people are doing silly things that are easy fixes. And one of the things that I see a lot is people struggling with the output that they're getting from AI or the output that they're getting from their planning meetings. And it all starts with the data that you're putting into it. We did this on the Trust Insights live stream last week, the So What live stream, and we actually realized that despite feeling really confident with how we have Google Analytics 4 set up, the data quality isn't as high as we thought it should be when we did the audit. And so I put together a very straightforward, automated way to take a look at your data to understand, like, is it clean? Is it complete? Is it comprehensive? Is it calculable? Is it chosen? Is it credible? Those are the six C's for those who aren't aware, the Trust Insights six C's of data quality. And I'm not a coder. I'm not about to write code, but you can use a tool like Google Colab that's going to write the code for you. You just have to tell it what to do. So the AI ready data quality audit is just that. So on the back end, we've already written the instructions of how to audit the data. You just have to provide the data and tell us what you plan to do with it. And then we can run it through and then give you a roadmap on how to fix the data on a score of 0 to 60, because there's six elements, how good your data is. And I feel like it's a really quick and easy way to defend, like, hey, we have great data, or the reason we're not getting good results is because we started with crappy data in the first place, which is a whole different conversation. But you at least have a starting point to say, now at least we know why this isn't working. Let's go ahead and fix it.
Yeah. And well, and there's that point. I know you've run into this a bunch of times already with clients as far as they set up this grand AI project that they want to do, you know, some kind of major makeover on some certain part of the project. And then everything gets built and suddenly they're stuck realizing, oh, wait, our data is a whole lot more messed up than anybody ever thought. So is the idea basically you run this and that way you don't end up in that situation of having built all this stuff and find out nothing's going to work because it's junk?
That's exactly it. So a lot of times we build the thing and then give it the data afterwards, or we use the data as a proof of concept and we're struggling, circling around like, why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? Never really thinking, oh, maybe it's the data we put in, not the instructions that we gave to the system. And so this is just a really straightforward way to say, is the data good enough to use? Am I going to get the output that I'm hoping for, that I spent all this time building this system or planning around this campaign or whatever it is? Is the data even good? A lot of times, and it's interesting, data quality is really sneaky because your data can look good on the surface. So like I said, when we did the audit of our Google Analytics 4 data, the data looks great on the surface. It's not incomplete. We're not missing anything. We've, you know, set the definitions of what the variables are and all that good stuff. But we don't have control over the system itself. It's not a system we built. It's not a system we own. It's a third-party system. And that's where when the data comes in, Google is transforming it in some way that we don't have access to. And that's part of what doing a data quality audit is going to highlight. So then you can say, okay, at least now I know that I have to correct for this, or this is a risk that we're not willing to accept and we have to find a different way to answer this question.
And then what's the lift as far as like how long will this end up taking clients and, you know, what do they have to go through to make this happen?
It shouldn't be a big lift at all. It really depends on the amount of data, but ideally to really sort of do the most express version, you would provide us with a sample data set, a CSV file from the system that you're looking at. And we would go through the five P's of like, what is the purpose? Who are the people? What is the process? Just to understand what your plan is for the data. We would run it and then give you back, okay, here's everything we found. Now here's your roadmap for how you fix it. And it shouldn't take more than 5 to 10 business days, depending on how quickly things are provided, context is provided, that kind of stuff. Larger data sets, you know, obviously you're looking at a larger time, more compute, but it really is meant to like get you in and out and understanding how confident you should be in your data.
All right, yeah, that makes sense. And so that, you know, this should just be part of the planning process as you're looking to these bigger AI projects, like at least make sure you're not going to wade into the alligator pit. That makes a lot of sense. This week, hot Sora 2 video is all the rage. That it literally came out like a day after the last time I talked to Christopher. So I'm sure he is just at a loss for words because he hasn't had a chance to jump on the bandwagon with us. There were invites that went around. I know we had a couple of them through Analytics for Marketers that were being given out. So if you were stuck, if you were over in the community there, you'd be able to get in and go. I've seen a bunch of stuff with this. I don't know. Is there anything that's caught your eye, though, as far as this latest round of stuff?
You know, it's funny. I saw the video that Chris posted on LinkedIn, and I immediately, my first thought was like, that doesn't look anything like him. Like, it obvious, I could tell because I know him so well that it was an AI avatar. But for someone who doesn't know him that well, I could see where they would be like, oh, he made a new video or whatever. So like, I feel like the quality of the output has really increased to the point where there's a lot of companies and creators that are going to be able to skate by now with AI created content. And it'll be harder to tell, I guess, depending on the context. But for people who are well known or people who know you well, we'll be able to call BS on it really quickly. But again, it comes down to, are people even paying attention? Do they care? There are certain use cases, which I'm sure we don't even need to get into, where it's going to be highly inappropriate to be using this technology, but it's going to be used anyway. Oh, so yesterday, it was a couple of days ago, there was a health scare with our Lord and Savior, Dolly Parton, and her sister had put out on social media, you know, she's having some health issues. Please send some thoughts and prayers. And then the next day, she was like, I'm just having some kidney stones. Like, I'm not dead yet. Also, please stop creating AI videos of me and Reba on our deathbeds. Like, those aren't true. You heard it from me first. Like, I'm not ready to die. I'm not dead yet. And I feel like that's the kind of stuff that gets circulated. And I see in the comments, a lot of people saying, is this AI? This has to be AI. Is it not AI? And things in the world right now are so bat poop crazy, for lack of a better term, that sometimes it is hard to tell, did that really happen or is that AI? And so it's going to take a really discerning eye to say, this is reality and this isn't. All to say, that was a long-winded way of saying, like, the technology has come really far. I think people are going to use it for good. I think people are going to use it for dumb reasons, but it's going to be harder to tell what's real and what's not.
Yeah, and it's interesting. This kind of, I feel like it creates a watershed moment in that people are looking at these videos and saying, wait, is this real or not? Well, nothing has changed with this social network. Like, people were writing lies, right, you know, for all the years coming up to this, and nobody was questioning any of that stuff. But now that it's a video, you're like, oh, wait, I, you know, need to get this verified.
Well, because now you're seeing proof, big air quotes, like proof.
Right, yeah.
So it's easier to believe something you can see versus a concept that somebody is just telling you about.
Yeah, and so I'm hoping that this will create a little bit more pushback finally with people, you know, doing a little more work to verify their sources. Because that's always with social media. One thing has been, if I don't have anybody in the chain that I know directly, you know, that is a real person, I'm already like, all right, default is not trust that. Like, it's, you have no reason to believe mm-hmm. it's true. There's just too much upside to creating fake content. I should have done that. Yeah, you mentioned those Chris videos. Those are pretty funny. He has himself saying the same quote in three different situations. And two of them, there was a fake TED video of him. And that was pretty good. That one was, you know, looked like him. There was one where he was speaking on the White House lawn. And it was just, yeah, it was absolutely ridiculous. It didn't look anything like him. So it's interesting to see how that pulls. And related to that, too, I do have a link. Tim Street, we've talked with him about video a bunch of times. He's pretty much my go-to source for talking about video. He's created a channel called Comedy Gum, and he's done a bunch of just short comedy clips. One of the series is cleaning tips from The Sopranos. I don't think he actually says Sopranos. It might be mafia cleaning tips or something like that. But it's just interesting to see these videos. Same thing of, you see these characters in these videos, and it's obviously a mashup of, you know, the Tony Soprano character and Christopher and maybe one of the other guys. But in every video, you can't see like, oh, there's a piece of that guy buried in there. But it's also interesting, the scripts. I got to laugh about one of the videos was like, you know, hey, you need to get blood out of carpet. Fug de boot it. And I was like, fug de boot it. And then I was thinking, I was like, oh, no, wait a minute. If you like phonetically spelled forget about it, that would be fug de boot it.
I was watching, I don't remember, it must have been like some sort of YouTube listicle or something. And it's now become a running joke because the AI voice, there's a town in Massachusetts called Framingham. And the AI voice said Framingham. And so now that's become, oh, where are you going? You're going to Framingham? Because they're getting it so, especially these Massachusetts towns, it's getting it so incorrect, blatantly incorrect, and nobody's like fixing
it. Right, yeah, Worcester and... everybody knows it's just Peabody. It's not Peabody. It's Peabody. Three letters.
Peabody. Yeah. It's Quincy.
Quincy, not right. Quincy. There's a Z in there.
It's not a hard C.
I saw Adam Sandler's latest stand-up over the weekend. He has a whole shtick about words with bizarre letters thrown in the middle. So I'll include a link to that because, I have not laughed that hard in like 10 years. I really kind of forgot about his style of just ridiculously absurd jokes. You know, you kind of get used to stand-up comedians trying to sort of telling you real stories, and his stories are just like absolutely fake from the get-go, but still funny, which makes it great to dig into. We just have to take a second. We want to thank Insta360 Go for their support of Marketing Over Coffee. We've talked about the Go Ultra, 4K magnetic mount, removable storage, all kinds of stuff going on there. And the 8K drone is getting a lot of buzz too. Something else you want to try. We've got links to that in the show notes, so check that out. And we thank them for their support of the show. Over on Analytics for Marketers, all the time, well, not all the time, but pretty regularly, I'll throw the worst pitches that I get. And, you know, from that, that's where I get the joke that sure as my name is Vishwaneth McKim, you know, obviously they know who they're talking to. But I did have to just mention to you, because I knew you'd get a kick out of this. The worst pitch of the week was I got an email about a company that's willing to help Trust Insights and all of us with podcasting.
Oh, good.
Yeah, if we want to do some podcasting, these guys can help us out.
I feel like that goes back to the company that pitched me. They were like, I can help you get on a bunch of podcasts. Have you ever heard of Marketing Over Coffee? And I was like, no, please tell me more. You clearly understand me and have done your due diligence and your research.
And you're like, those guys are jerks. I hate that show.
No, never.
Not going on.
There is one crappy pitch that's making the rounds again. So a couple of years ago, the crux of it was like, oh, we're all part of the simulation. Like, hey, first name, just kidding. We're part of the simulation. And it's like, that one made the rounds a couple years ago for a few months, and it's made its way back where I got it again last week. And that's why I put in Analytics for Marketers. I'm like, John, oh my God, it's coming again.
It's returned.
It's coming back.
I got one today that I did have to give some credit to because it said the first line was like, I'm not going to sit here and say that I've listened to all your podcasts. We know that those emails are bogus. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. Like they said it was bogus, but they didn't say that they didn't listen to all the podcasts. They did not come flat out and say that. So I had to give them some credit for that at least. But yeah, no, the rotten pitch bucket is just overflowing continually.
And I feel like it's getting worse. The kind of stuff I'm getting pitched now, I'm getting pitched for cleaning services for my office, which would be lovely, except my office is at home. I sent it to you a couple weeks ago. I got pitched for Trust Insights to join a bowling league, which, you know, we could totally do. It would be a disaster, but why not? But things that just feel so far out of what we do, like it doesn't matter anymore. To borrow a phrase from Chris, the spray and pray technique is now alive and well. Like, I don't care who you are, what you do. If I have your email address, you're getting my stuff. Doesn't matter if it aligns or not. Like, you're going to get it.
Yeah, no spray and pray. That's totally a way of life. Just have to work around that. I've got Derek Sivers, who has been on the show a number of times. He's actually doing a promo giving away all of his books for free. By the time the show drops, you'll still have 2 days left for that. So I've got a link to that in the show notes. Check that out. We have, of course, I always love catching up with entertainment with you because, you know, Chris's viewing habits are pretty much match my Matt, you're just like thumbs down. Forget his crummy shows. I have been watching Wednesday. I finished Wednesday. And it was funny. I actually complained to you halfway through. I was like, I don't know. This season is all over the place. And you were like, well, stick with it and report back. And yeah, it was amazing how they tied up all the ends.
Yeah.
And it came through. But you had watched that. Any other, like, what do you think about compared to first season? And how'd you think of it?
You know, it's definitely a departure from the first season. And I think the big thing, and I know that, you know, because I'm the super nerd and I like to read the backstory of all the stuff, what goes into the thinking of how people make the show. And the big thing that the star of the show, Jenna Ortega, pushed for was no more romantic storylines for Wednesday because it just doesn't fit her character. And you can't really disagree with that. You know, it's really not who her character is. And unless they want to make that a choice, it would feel very disingenuous, which it kind of did the first season. Yes, she can care about people in her own way, but like the whole love story thing just kind of felt weird. So I'm glad they ditched that and focused more on her investigative, relentless, I'm not going to drop it, even if other people get hurt. First of all, that trope makes me nuts. I read a book. What was it called? It was called The Three Graves. And we used to joke that it was called The Three Raves. You know, just like oots, oots. But it was The Three Graves. And the main character in the story was this woman who was a journalist and she would stop at nothing to get the story, even if it put other people at risk. And I was just like, why do people do that? You know, maybe it's not your problem. Maybe the story's not that important. Maybe stop letting other people get killed so that you can write your damn story. But I feel like that for a character like Wednesday actually fits because she's so one-track mind. That if she wasn't like that, we'd be like, well, what is she doing? Like taking up knitting? Like she has hobbies now? That is who she is. She is very singularly focused. And so I appreciate that about the show and that they put more of a focus on that in season two.
Yeah. And you totally nailed that with the characters about woe and despair. Like that's her default. So yeah, having love interest is weird. And I love that she is the hero of the story. Like she's right up there with James Bond. You know, she's fencing, she's musician. She, you know, she has all these skills and it's just funny to see, you know, kind of like a smaller high school aged person, you know, mastering all these skills. That makes it fun.
Yeah. Multilingual.
Right. Yeah. And just master strategist too. Totally Sherlock Holmes, you know, thinking two steps ahead of everybody all the time. Oh, and you know, I didn't have on the list, but I got to throw out there. Cause we watch a lot of the gonzo ridiculous stuff. So I have to give a shout out for Unknown Number on Netflix.
Yes. Oh my God. Stop bananas. If you haven't seen it, I mean, I don't know if I would recommend it because it's so like, it makes you feel all the emotions. Like you get so angry, like you feel for these people. I don't want to give it away for anyone who hasn't seen it unless you just want to go ahead and spoil the ending. But like, oh, it was such a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's a true crime thing. So if you know you're okay with people being basically tortured and abused, not physically, but just completely mentally, the mental emotional games are just like over the top beyond anything I've ever seen or heard before.
But I will say that documentary pissed me off and a lot of other people because of the ending. And I won't give away the ending, but the editing. They did the young female in that documentary so dirty by editing together clips out of context that it made it look like she was sort of feeling one way when really they were using a clip from a few years ago, married with a clip from today. Like it just totally, it was such a BS move, but they did it to fit the story they wanted to tell, not the story that was actually happening. So like that is still, aside from the fact that the whole story was crazy, that editing just like pissed me off to no end.
All right. Yeah. Links to that. People can check that out. And if you do get a chance to watch it, be sure to talk to us over in Analytics for Marketer. We have the Now Playing channel. You can talk about stuff you're watching or listening to.
Yeah.
Travel is running everywhere, but you and Chris will both be down at MayCon next week. So what have you got going on there?
Yeah. So we're really excited to be partnering with the team from MayCon again. I think Chris has been to every MayCon they've had, and this might be my third or fourth. I did the first one, the inaugural one, and then I took a couple years off from speaking in general. This year, Chris and I are teaching a workshop on measurement, which we're really excited about because there's been a lot of asks for how do I use AI for measurement. So we're going to help people understand where AI fits in, but how to put together a solid measurement plan and sort of automate a bunch of the pieces. And that kind of goes back to where we started talking about data quality. So you have to have good data quality in order to have good measurement. So it all kind of ties together. So we're going to be doing that. We are pinch hitting and doing a session on AI video and audio creation, which should be interesting, especially with Sora now being released. So we have a little bit more to talk about, but also, unsurprisingly, I'll be talking about the foundations and requirements and all the boring stuff. And Chris will be doing all the flashy, look what I can do stuff. So we'll be doing that there, plus some networking. We'll be recording. They're setting up a really cool thing this year. So they'll have a podcast recording booth, which I'm calling the fishbowl, because basically people will be walking by seeing you live recording a podcast. So Chris and I will be doing an episode of In Ear Insights live from MayCon. I don't know when that will drop because we'll have to get the files from them, all that good stuff, but we will let people know that that's what we're doing. But while we're recording it, people will be able to see us recording it and see the faces that I make at Chris when we record.
That's good. Yeah, if you're going to be at MayCon, give us a yell. We can give you more info on that, you know, where to be and what's going on with that. The London event for Chris is sold out. So if you're interested in that, yeah, we're talking about doing US tour for that. So there'll be locations and dates coming up, but don't be afraid to chime in and tell us if you want us to come to your town. We've got, we've had people from both Chicago and Seattle say that they're in. So we're going to be covering a good chunk of the country. You can sign up for the text line at 617-812-5494. But otherwise, that's going to do it for this week. Katie, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah. Always happy to be here, John. Whenever you need someone to stand in and pretend to be Chris.
All right.
I'm your gal.
And give us better quality of entertainment. We appreciate the bailout. And we've got to have holiday movie wrap up at some point in the next couple months, because they're starting to drop. I saw a few on my Netflix feed.
I've got one and I'm going to save it, but I've got one for you.
All right. That sounds good. We'll keep that till the holiday special. That's going to do it for this week. So until next week, enjoy the coffee.
You've been listening to Marketing Over Coffee. Christopher Penn blogs at ChristopherSPenn.com. Read more from John J. Wall at JW5150.com. The Marketing Over Coffee theme song is called Mellow G by Funk Masters, and you can find it at Musical.ly from Mevio, or follow the link in our show notes.